All right. Okay, so we are holding Yud Ches Amud Aleph.
Rebbe?
Yes.
I just wanted to ask you, am I going to be able to text you a question after the class today?
Of course.
Okay, fine.
Okay. So, in our Mishnah, which was Yud Zayin Amud Aleph, Yud Zayin Amud Beis Yud Ches Amud Aleph, the Mishnah had stated a machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, whether or not you're allowed to do something on Erev Shabbos, which technically would have been also to do on Shabbos, but now they did it on Erev Shabbos, so for sure should be mutter. However, the thing will still continue working on Shabbos, like turn on your garden hose on Erev Shabbos and have it continue running on Shabbos itself. So, the question is, would you be able to do such a thing? Beis Shammai says, no, you cannot have your objects, forget you working on Shabbos, even your objects can't work on Shabbos. It's Beis Shammai asks Kalim on Shabbos, and Beis Hillel holds that no, so long as you started the process before Shabbos, you're allowed to let it continue on Shabbos. One of the examples given was allowing your ink, allowing ink to soak, these roots and other things, allowing them to soak in water. And the question is, what exactly is usser with putting a root or diyoy, this whatever it is, this rock or whatever it is, this earth, into water and allowing it to color the water? So mantana said, and the problem is that it's lisha. The Gemara says mantana that it's mashma from our Mishnah that even Beis Hillel would agree that it's usser. The only reason it's mutter is because you did it before Shabbos. So the question is, questions to Gemara. Man Tana, who is the Tana that says that Nesinas Mayim L'Diyoy, that putting the water into the ink, not into the ink, but putting the water and even if you don't do any like mixing with your hand, the very act of letting it soak there is Zuhi Shuri Asan. This is considered allowing it to soak, and it's violating the halacha of lisha, of kneading. There's a machlekas with regards to kneading. Is it the act of mushing together, or is it merely the mixing of the two, or is it merely the mixing of the two items? V'hanogeya, it's very, very nogeya, Hilchas Shabbos. Are you allowed to put together, how do you make cereal for, how do you make, oatmeal cereal for babies, or how do you make, all these things are, what exactly is considered lisha? Is it the act of bringing the two things together, or is it, and this is, it literally can come up every Shabbos once we learn the halachas. So the question is merely bringing the two things together without doing any act of mixing considered the malacha or not? Amar of Yosef, Rebbe, it is the position of Rebbe. The Tanya, we have a brisa which states, with regards to the Isser of Lisha, Echad Neisin Es HaKemach, if one person puts the flour into the bowl, the Echad Neisin Es HaMayim, and one person puts the water into the bowl, HaAchrayin Chayev, the second one, even without mushing it together with your hands, but merely placing it in the same bowl together, is the act of Lisha and his Chayev, Divrei Rebbe. Rebbe Yosef, Rebbe Yehuda, Eimer, no. You actually have to do the maisa of mushing it together. Merely putting them together in the same pot, in the same bowl, is not violating the Isser. And therefore, our Mishnah, which says that Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai agree that if it was done on Shabbos, it would be prohibited. The only reason why it's mutter is because, according to Beis Hillel, it was done on Erev Shabbos, must follow the view of Rebbe. This is Rabbi Yosef's Teretz. Amar Abaye, Abaye said back to him, V'dilma ad kan leikom Rabbi Yosi ela bekemach de bar gibelhu. Aval diyoi de la bar gibelhu eima lechayev. Says Abaye, Rabbi Yosi only says that with regards to flour, putting them together in the same keli is not a problem. It's only because there is another step to the mixing process. You have to take the flour and mix it together. So since there's another step to the mixing process, merely doing step one is not considered a iser d'oraisa of lisha. But if the only step to the mixing process is putting the water in, for example, you put hot water into oatmeal and it automatically, you don't have to mix it afterwards, it automatically congeals into this glump. So then, perhaps, Aval Diyoy, or like our Gemara, Delab Argibahu, now, it does not become a bar gibel, it doesn't become something like a... See, Lisha, what happens is you have one item which is flour, one item which is water, you put the two together, you get a totally new item called... called dough. But with dioy, it's not like that. It doesn't turn into a whole new one mixture with the water. It mushes with the water. It, you know, it becomes however the dioy becomes. I don't exactly know, but it doesn't become one new paste. It doesn't become one new whole item. So in that case, Eimel Lechayev, since there's no next step, the idea behind the Gemara's question is, though, since there is no next step, perhaps in such a case, you should be Chayev, because putting the water in is the only step. Since that's the only step, maybe that should be Asur D'Oraisa. That's the Gemara's question. By the way, another major... question of Lisha, but Lamaisa, it's mutter, is mushing bananas and things like that. Or if you take two items and you mush them together into one, that's where you have Lisha. So the Gemara says, Loisal kedaitach, do not think like that, says the Gemara. The Tanya, echad noisen es ha'efer, somebody puts ashes into a bowl. The echad noisen es ha'mayim, and somebody then subsequently puts the water into the bowl. Ha'achron chayev, the second one is chayev. Even though there is no subsequent act that you have to mush together. If you put ash into a bowl and you mix water in there, you can mush it together all day long. It's not becoming a dough. It's becoming a clump of wet ash, which is the same thing that this dioy becomes. So, divrei Rebbe. So it does stick together. If it didn't stick together, say, putting milk onto cornflakes, it doesn't stick together and become one, unless you leave it there for an hour, but it doesn't stick together right away. So therefore, that's not called Lisha at all. But the ashes actually stick together, but they don't become a new entity called dough. So that's the difference. And the same thing with dioy. It doesn't become this new entity. Yet, the Gemara proves from this Braisa, which discusses ash, that there is no difference. Rebbe maintains his shita, and Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, Omer, no, achi gavel. You actually have to mush it together. Now, ash is, like we just said, ash does not become a brand new entity. And nevertheless, what do we see? We see that it has a din of, Rabbi Yossi says, that merely putting the water in does not make it that you're going to be violating the Isra of Lisha. You actually have to physically mix it. Says the Gemara. So therefore, a proof against Abaya's question. Abaya, your question doesn't hold water. Well, says the Gemara, maybe your Braisa is actually misrecording the Gemara. Who said it meant ash? Maybe it meant earth. And if you mix water and earth, it does become a new entity of mud. V'dilma my afer, it's really afar. Maybe it was misrecorded. It wasn't afer with an aleph, which means ashes, which don't become a new entity, just becomes a clump of ash, but rather becomes afer, which means it becomes mud, a whole new entity. Debar kibuhu, which you could mix. And maybe that's why Rabbi Yossi argues. Maybe Rabbi Yossi says that you're not chaya for putting water in because also over there there's a next step. The Gemara says, but I have two braises. One which says afer, which is earth, and one which says afer, which is ash. So, no, your question is incorrect. I do have two braises. And according to your understanding that my braisa is messed up, and really afer meant afer, why would you need two braises? And the Gemara says, midi gabi hadodi tanya. Are the two braises taught together? If it was one braisa and it said afer ve'afer, so then I understand that, okay, why does it have to say it twice? Over here, they're not two braises taught together. They're not taught together. It's one braisa afer, and you say, oh, there's another braisa. Maybe it's the exact same braisa. Maybe you bought two books in Barnes & Nobles. One of them was written properly, and one of them wasn't written properly. It wasn't like they had a copy machine, and it was all, therefore, it's the exact same braisa, just one of them was recorded wrong.
Would these also have the issue of Sevea? Because each of these, we're talking about ink, we're talking about, like, colored earth. Is Sevea a possible issue?
they're only talking about one here, but I'm wondering if you would also, like, even if not, but it'll be us because it's Tevea.
Why isn't there an issue of Tzevea? Maybe the water, you know, maybe the water doesn't get, maybe the water does not get colored.
Well, they mentioned ink earlier.
Right. No, I'm saying by this case of ink, by the case of ink, I'm not sure the process. But 1 second. Yeah, I remember there is something on it. I thought it was, I'm thinking it's a tesis, but it's. Yeah, I'm remembering Shitas HaRambam is that it is because of Tzevea. I'm just wondering how he learns our Gemara again. And I'm trying to remember how they argue on the Rambam, because right off an art on the Rambam, the Ravid argues and says that it's not Tzevea. I'm trying to remember, because I remember there's a tesis about this also somewhere. I'm looking around for it. Yeah, for now we'll just leave it at that. The Rambam does say it's because of Tzevea. You are dyeing the waters. I know the Ravid argues, and the Ravid says that you're not dyeing the waters, or you're not chayav for dyeing. I don't remember the lumdus of the machlekas. And there is a taste somewhere that discusses it, nor do I remember how the Rambam learns our Gemara. I'm thinking that it's not really the water. It was more of like a machlekes metzias. It's not really the water that's helping the ink. You see, they used to make the diyoy. What is diyoy? So, could be that it's just the scrapings of like ash and things like that. And like they used to smoke up glass and then scrape the glass, the black stuff, and then soak that in water. So maybe it wasn't just helping the water, it was just helping the consistency. I don't remember exactly what the machlekes was. But having you do that, the Rambam does say it was Tzevea. So that's pretty good. After that, yeah, I don't remember exactly the rest of the raid. Okay, Tanu Rabbanan. The Gemara continues, and the Gemara says, other, like we had in our Mishnah, different things that you're allowed to do on Erev Shabbos, or according to Beis Shammai, you're not allowed to do on Erev Shabbos, in order to, because you started the Malach on Erev Shabbos. So, Poiskin Mayim, which means you're allowed to, in our days, it would mean turning on the hose. But back in the day, when they didn't have hoses, you're allowed to open up a window in the, like open up a little window in the river, and like, they, you know, if you have a river passing your field, so people, they used to build like some sort of like dam in front of the field, and when they wanted to, they lifted it up, and it flooded the field, so it gave water to the field, and then they replaced the dam. So you're allowed to basically open up that passageway in order for the river to come and lagina, in order to for the river to come and water your garden on Erev Shabbos im chashecha, even though on Shabbos it will go ahead and umismaleis v'heleches kalem kulei, and it will fill up your your garden or wherever you need to fill up water, and it's called watering the plants on Shabbos. By the way, you're also allowed to close that on Shabbos, because by closing it or turning off the hose, let's say the gardener said, you just planted new grass, you need this much water, and if you don't get it, it's going to kill the plants. So on Erev Shabbos, you go ahead, you turn on the sprinkler, it's going to water it for 3 hours. 3 hours Motzei Shabbos, but if you don't turn it off, you're going to flood your basement. You're allowed to turn it off on Shabbos because you're not doing anything. You're not giving it water. That's fine. You're allowed to turn off a hose on Shabbos. You just can't turn on a hose. But once the hose is on, what? No, it's not a Tolev Kotzer. You're not doing anything, merely taking away more water. Next thing is manichin mugmar. You're allowed to place spices on top of coals, and these spices will make the coals will make the spices emit some fragrance. And tachas akelim, and they used to do this underneath clothes and things like that. They used to hang their clothes under spices, and this way their clothes would smell good. Nowadays we have a bounce sheet. Umizgamrim vaholchim kol hayom kulay, and it will get smoky and smelly in a good way the entire day. So even though it's infusing scent into the clothes, nevertheless, it's mutter to do. Umenichin gofres tachas akelim. One is permitted to. You see, what they used to do is they used to have, let's say, silver. Cups and things like that that were, had different designs on them. And so therefore, they used to want to make those designs stand out starker, so they used to smoke them up. And they used to smoke them up with gofres, which is like sulfur. So you used to put the sulfur on top of coals and underneath silver vessels, and this way it would make the design stick out. Again, it's a form of dyeing, a form of writing, and that's also to do on Shabbos, but if you do it on Erev Shabbos, umizgafren v'holchen, and it will continuously get solved for the entire Shabbos, kol Shabbos kula. Again, since you did it on Erev Shabbos, it's fine. Uminichin kilo, you're able to put a bandage containing ointments and medicine on your eye, al gabei ha'ayin, and v'is palonis, and a bandage, agabe maka, on top of a bandage on top of a wound, again, with some sort of vitamin E, and therefore it's going to cause it to heal on Shabbos, misrapeis, v'hilechas kaleim kulei, and it will cause it to heal the entire Shabbos, even though it's usher to do this on Shabbos, because you're not allowed to do refuah for a maka that is not serious, for a wound that's not serious, you're not allowed to do this on Shabbos. Nevertheless, if it's done on Erev Shabbos, it's fine. Aval says the Gemara, "Ein nois din chitin l'teicha rechayim shel mayim." You're not allowed to put wheat inside a grinder, a water mill, because even though you're not doing anything, unless there is enough time for all the wheat to be ground before Shabbos. So you want to put in a full load of wheat into the mill, that's fine, as long as it can be done before Shabbos. Why? Why are we more makbid with grinding the wheat than any of the other melachas? Lamaisa, I put it in there and I set it up before Shabbos. A whole different reason. Not because your mill is working for you, but my time of amaraba, v'pneisha mishma'as kol, because it makes a sound. It ruins the Kavod Shabbos. A mill makes a lot of sounds. The grinding can be heard from blocks away. And therefore, we don't want that working on Shabbos because it's not Kavod Shabbos. Now, the question is, what about different, setting up a dryer, setting up a washing machine? Some people say that same problem exists by that. I personally hold that dishwashers are okay to set up on Erev Shabbos, because modern dishwashers, because they are absolutely quiet. You really do not hear a dishwasher working, at least mine you don't, when you're in the kitchen. Occasionally you hear a swish of water, but such a mild thing I don't think should go under the rubric of Hashmoah's Kol. I would think the question is, but other things that do make noise is a problem.
according to Beis Hillel, who over the, all these cases we're talking about, it's starting on Erev Shabbos and it's already going.
Yeah.
You call that way with a timer that you set the timer before Shabbos, but doesn't really start until after Shabbos.
That's a great question. I would assume yes. Rav Moshe famously says no. Rav Moshe, dealing with this question, and because of this Gemara, says no. He says that it only exists because, he says Av Shemilsa works. He doesn't allow timers even with lights. For example, we let our lights burning. Well, that's not a great example because there's no Isser in letting the lights burn. But I'm saying, just using that example, Rav Moshe says that you're not allowed to put on a timer on lights. But it's we just don't go with it. We used to just take Rav Moshe's coolest. Not
did
his.
He reverse himself like chumis. 20 years later. By then it was so common that everyone knows.
I don't know if he. I never heard that he did, but all those tell me that they know. There's nobody who goes with their Moshe. Absolutely nobody, because it's so common.
I heard that
and nobody
he himself was asked it again like 20 years after the original Pesach.
Oh really?
Because at the time of the original Pesach, it was new. People don't know. It's like people will think that you're actually turning it on. 20 years later, everyone has a timer. So.
Oh yeah, so I haven't heard that he. Very possibly right. I don't know. I haven't heard that he was Chazer, but nobody goes with it because of that scar. Because there's no such thing. Everybody knows what timers are. It's like
something that I've always kind of wondered. I've never really gotten a satisfactory answer. Is Adam was saying about the something that doesn't start until after Shabbos starts. A coffee maker with a timer. Which, on the one hand, like, you're doing fishing, you're doing all this stuff, but at the same time, it's completely automatic, you have no control over it.
Right, so that is actually, with regards to the timers, that's fine. There's other issues over there, and that is there are specific issues with regards to cooking. That in by cooking, you cannot leave it on the fire. You have issues there of shihia, you have issues of chazara. In other words, you cannot have something cooking on that is not one-third of the way cooked on Shabbos. So, let's say, for example, you put up a challenge 20 minutes before Shabbos. You can't do that, even according to Beis Hillel, because of a separate gezeira specific to cooking. So that would include coffee, because you can't start a new process specifically to cooking. So, yeah, the mice of coffee would not be able to do. Or let's say a bread machine, you know. You could put a bread machine on a 15-hour timer. So on Erev Shabbos, go ahead, set up all the ingredients, and just let it sit there. And 15 hours later, you come down Shabbos morning to bring fresh challah. So you can't do that either. Even though, based on the melacha you could, but there's a new thing specifically to bishul that you cannot do. So the Gemara says, "My taima amarava b'pneisha mashma." Amalei Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef says, "V'leima mar mishum shvisas kelim." Why don't you say that the iser in that brisa is because you cannot have your kalim work for you? The Tanya ubechal asher amarti aleichem tishameru l'rabba yishvises kalim. The word ubechal, everything, is because of ubechal teaches you that in all fashions you have to monitor shmirah Shabbos, and that includes even keeping your kalim there. And that means even your kalim cannot work for you. Maybe the pshat in that brisa is not like Beis Hillel. The pshat in that brisa is actually Beis Shammai. And the reason why you cannot put wheat into your mill is because you cannot have your mill working for you. But indeed, according to Beis Hillel, who generally says that it is permitted, then it would be mutter to have your mill working for you. So Ella Amar of Yosef, Rabbi Yosef says it's because of Shvisas Kelim. The reason why this Brisa prohibits using your mill is not because of Hashmaras Kol, but rather it's because it is Beis Shammai's opinion that it is prohibited to do Shvisas Kelim. Well, the Gemara says, if that's true, then let's revisit the whole Brisa. The rest of the Brisa permitted everything. Why was it permitted to go ahead opening the dam, you really didn't do anything wrong. So, okay, opening the dam, there's no keli working for you. But you told me the other cases were putting spices on top of, putting spices or putting sulfur on top of on top of coals and letting them smoke up either your clothing or your silver goblets? How come that's mutter? Aren't you putting them in a pan and allowing the sulfur and the spices to emit fumes? The hashtag the amateur lebeis hillel is. You know what? I said it incorrectly. Not that it was beis shammai, but that beis hillel agrees that shvisas kelim is aser. So the hashtag Gemara is gonna. I skipped a step in the Gemara. The Gemara at this point thinks that he was going in beis hillel, and beis hillel holds of shvisas kelim. So first, the Gemara is gonna revisit the Mishnah instead of revisiting this brisa. The Gemara is going to. Revisit the Mishnah. I apologize. Elo Amar Rabbi, Elo Amar Rabbi Yosef, it's Mishum Shvisas Kelim. Even Beis Hillel holds a Shvisas Kelim. V'hashta da'amar to Beis Hillel islehu Shvisas Kelim d'oraisa. And now that you say that Beis Hillel agrees to Beis Shammai that you cannot have your items work for you on Shabbos, so then, Gafris umugmar my time asharu. What is the reason that this brisa permits Gafris and Mugmar, which are the cases in the Mishnah, cases in this brisa? So the Gemara says, Mishum deloy ka'avid ma'isa. You don't have a keli working for you. And Rashi says that this question is going back on any of the cases of the Mishnah. You didn't do any ma'isa with a keli. Instead of what we assumed, which was that you put the spices and the sulfur into a keli, and you put that into a pan, and you put the pan on top of coals, you didn't do that. What you did was, you put the pan on top, the spices directly on top of coals, and there was no keli working for you. So the Gemara says, going back to the Mishnah, what's the pshat in the Mishnah of Oinin Shel Pishtan? What's the pshat in the Mishnah that Beis Shammai, that Beis Hillel says it is permitted to soak the flax? My Tamashori, why is it permitted to soak the flax? Let the oven. In the case of the flax, you're putting it into an oven. Why is it permitted to put it into the oven? The Gemara says, "Mishum deloy oved ma'isa umeinich naichi." The oven doesn't do anything. You see, the oven is just a square box of brick. You put fire in there, and you put the flax in there. There is no ma'isa that's being done with the oven. It's just a box that contains the heat. Therefore, that's the reason why it's considered mutter to do. What does Beis Shammai hold? Beis Shammai holds that no, using this. So the machlokes is that considered using the oven? According to Rabbi Yosef, the machlokes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel is whether or not using the oven in that manner, is it considered using an oven? The Gemara is going to back off all these things. The Gemara says then, Metzudas Chayev V'Oif V'Dagim. What about traps, where Beis Hillel said it's permitted? The Ka'avid Ma'isa. Traps are a box, and as soon as the little animal goes in there, it slams itself shut, so it is moving. My time is Sharu. What is the reason that it's permitted? The Gemara says, Hasam Nami. It's talking about the specific type of traps that don't do any Ma'isa. They're talking about B'Luche V'Kukri, which is, Luche is a hook. So the hook is not doing anything, it's just floating in the water, a regular fish hook like we have nowadays, and the fish comes along and eats it. Therefore, it's not doing any ma'isa, it's just floating in water. A Beis Shammai holds that's considered a ma'isa, Beis Hillel holds it's not considered a ma'isa. And the kukri are types of traps that just sit there, and the animal goes in and then gets stuck. If you can imagine a cone-shaped trap, where the animal tries to get the peanut butter, or the fish tries to get whatever it is at the end of it, and either it swims in or the animal goes in, and then it has, let's say, forward-facing hooks. So as the fish swims in, it's impossible for it to get back out. Or as the raccoon, or whatever type of trap you're trying to get, as it goes in, it cannot pull itself back out.
Because fish can't swim backwards, they can only go forward, as long as it's narrowing.
Okay, so there you go. So there you go. So they didn't invent the reverse yet on the fish. So it goes in, it can't pull out. Or even they have even by animals, it's a cone shaped thing in the front, and this way, however it is, it's going to trap it. But the point is that it's not doing any action. It's just sitting there being, and the fish is the one who does all the action. In this case, Beis Hillel holds, according to Rabbi Yosef, that that's not called an action, and Beis Shammai holds it is called an action. The Gemara says, "V'hashta the Amar of Oishi, Amar of Asi, Man Tana Shvisas Kalim Diraisis Beis Shammai Vlebe Beis Hillel." However, now that we say that that the one who says Shvisas Kalim is Beis Shammai, not Beis Hillel, this is the step I thought we were at before. So according to Beis Shammai, Bein Kavod Ma'isa Bein Delavikad Ma'isa, according to Beis Shammai, we're going to revert back to what we said originally. Kalim are that there's no machloikas about is this considered an action or not. Beis Shammai holds all kalim working for you are usser. Beis Hillel holds all kalim working for you are mutter. So Beis Shammai bein kavod ma'isa bein deloy kavod ma'isa. Whether the item whether the kalim in question is doing an action or not, it's usser. And Beis Hillel afalgav the kavod ma'isa, it's shari. So the Gemara says, so v'hashta de amrit de lo Beis Shammai af al gav de loy oved ma'isa, it's usser. Now that you're telling me that according to Beis Shammai, no matter what, it's usser. Yehachi says the Gemara, mugmar v'gofres, my time is sharu. So now the Gemara is saying, okay, so now you want to tell me that the Braisa is actually Beis Shammai, which is the way we explained originally. And you want to tell me, you want to tell me that the Braisa is Beis Shammai, that's why it's usher to put the stuff in the mill. So why is it permitted to put the spices in a pan on top of kalim, on top of the coals? The pan is working for you. And even though the pan is not moving, but you just told me that Beis Shammai's opinion is that even if the kalim is not moving, like the oven is not moving, so nevertheless it's going to be usher. And here's what the Gemara answers, Hasam manacha ara. It's talking about where you put the spices directly on the coals. I apologize. Before I said this answer before I was doing the Gemara from memory. The Gemara's original Shakal Vataria was that we have a Mishnah which states that there's a machlekes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel whether or not your kalim are allowed to work for you. We then had a Braisa which listed five more cases, and the fifth case it said that it's usser to do a mill. The question is, why is a mill different than anything else? The Gemara's first answer is because it's too noisy. The Gemara's second answer is no. It's Beis Hillel agrees that your kalim cannot work for you. That's Rabbi Yosef's first answer. The Gemara says Beis Hillel agrees. So then, why is it mutter to do any of the other actions listed? The Gemara says because all those the machlekes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel is whether or not the keli has to work for you or merely using the keli is usher. Beis Shammai holds even merely using the keli is usher. Beis Hillel holds that the keli has to actually move. The Gemara then said, okay, so the Gemara then reversed that and said, no, Beis Hillel, like we said at the beginning, Beis Hillel says you're allowed to have anything work for you. Beis Shammai holds you can't have anything work for you. Even if it's not moving, it's usser. The question is, though, so who's the author of the second Mishnah? It must be Beis Shammai. That's why the mill is usser to use. So in that case, why is it mutter to use the sulfur? The sulfur, the pan that contains the spices, the pan is usher. To this, the Gemara answers that you're not using a pan. You're putting the sulfur directly on the coals. The Gemara wants to know, why is gigas, why is a barrel which is making beer, that you're soaking barley and hops and other things in there, now you got to soak this for a long time, definitely over one Shabbos. So how come it's mutter to use a barrel on Shabbos? And v'ner, how come it's permitted to use a keli on Shabbos? How come it's permitted to use a keli on Shabbos? One second. I'm just gonna... how come it's permitted to use a keli on Shabbos? If anybody wants, I just muted people because there was some static coming in from my side. But so if you want to talk, just push your space bar. I think usually that should unmute people. If it has a problem, then tell me. A nair. How is it mutter to use a nair on Shabbos? A candle. That's your items working view. Ukadera. How is it mutter to keep a challah pot working? Vishfud, how is it mutter to keep a spit working? A long spit that you keep in the oven. My time is sharu. All these cases, my time is sharu Beis Shammai. How come Beis Shammai permits them? The Gemara says, Eina Kanami. According to Beis Shammai, it's only permitted if you're mafker them. The mafker lehu afkure. You have to be mafker anything that you want working for you on Shabbos. So this way, it's not your kalim working for you. Which is why people used to go into Beis Shammai's house on Shabbos and just take the chalent. It's not even yours. So the Gemara says, "Man Tana lahadat Tana Rabbanan." Who is the Tana who says the following? Brisa loisamali isha kedera asosius utumosin. A lady should not go ahead and fill up a pot of different types of beans and which need to be cooked a lot. The taniach l'toicha tanor on erev Shabbos imchashecha and put it into the oven on erev Shabbos before it gets dark. And the imna sonon, and if she does put it there, so then the motzi Shabbos is asur b'kedesha yasu. It is prohibited to eat on motzi Shabbos for the entire duration of the time that it would have taken to cook. So add on another 25 hours to the cook time. Kiyotzebai, similarly, lo yamale nachtaim chavish al mayim, a baker should not fill up a barrel of water and v'yaniach l'toicha taner erev Shabbos imchashecha and put it into the oven on erev Shabbos before it gets dark, so that it should be boiling over Shabbos, and that Motzei Shabbos immediately it should be ready. And if he does do it, then the Motzei Shabbos, you cannot use that water until you wait the duration of time it would have taken to boil. Asur b'kedesha yasu. Lema Beis Shammai, v'loi Beis Hillel. Let us say that it's Beis Shammai, not Beis Hillel. Basically, the Gemara is asking Michael's question before, which is, are you allowed, according to Beis Hillel, is it permitted to cook on, to set up a chalent right before Shabbos? We know that it's not permitted. Are we saying we're going like Beis Shammai? And the Gemara says no. By cooking is a special din, afilu tema Beis Hillel, gzeir Hashem yechate b'gecholim. There is a special din, there's a special din by cooking that since you're cooking the item, we're scared you're going to poke the coals. So nothing to do with having your kalim work for you. A special gezeira that you're not allowed to have something cook on Shabbos because we're scared you might stir the coals. In our days, you might turn up the heat of the oven.
I heard that for some areas, like with cholent and such, if it's completely raw and you're not going to be able to eat until the next day anyway, then it's okay.
That is correct. Not well. You, if it's completely raw, yes, that is correct. You need both conditions. It's completely raw and you can't use it for the next day anyways. That is true. Indeed. It's got to be, in this case, according to that heter, it's got to be that it's got to be that it's going to be Argamar. Argamar is coming up. It's going to be the Sugya coming up. So the Gemara says, if that is so, then Mugmar v'gofras nami ligzar. Why are we not concerned that perhaps you will stoke the coals of the spices previously mentioned and of the sulfur previously mentioned? You have some essence burning, some essence smoking up your spices, which in turn are making your clothes smell good. What happens if you have a date that night and you really want to smell good? So you're going to stoke the coals to have an extra whiff in there. So why aren't we concerned for that? The Gemara says, "Hasam loy machted hu adaraba." You're not going to want to stir the coals there because then instead of smelling fragrance lilac or whatever you're burning, you're going to smell like smoke. And then comes the dreaded question, do you smoke? So therefore, hasam loy machti lehu, over there you're not going to stir it, because the imachti, because if you do stir it, solik buhu kutra vikashi lehu. Then, because if you do machti, if you do stir those coals, solik buhu kutra, it will emit some sort of smoke, vikashi lehu, and it will be bad for either the clothing in question or the silver in question. So fakert, over there you have a specific reason not to do it. The Gemara says, how come in the Mishnah it was permitted to leave some flax in the oven? There, why are we not concerned that perhaps he will stoke the coals in the oven to keep the oven burning? And again, the Gemara says, a different heter over there, there, if you open the oven, you will actually ruin the process of finishing your flax, Now, the Gemara says, "Hasam came in the kush luhuzika. The air by opening the oven is bad for it. Therefore, loy megalule, you will not open the oven. So it's a different reason why you won't open the oven." The Gemara wants to know, what about semer liyira? You put the wool in a pot. And again, the pot is soaking it, and apparently with heat. So why are we not concerned over there? And Ligzar and the Gemara answers, Amar Shmuel, you're right, B'yayra Akura. We're talking about a pot that is not working with heat. It has already been taken off the fire. The Gemara says, V'necha Shema Megizba, why are we not concerned that perhaps you will stir it? The Gemara says, B'akura V'tucha, it is not only taken off the fire, Akura, but it is also Tucha, it is also sealed shut. Otherwise, you're right, you have to seal the pot shut in order for us to allow you to let it soak. The Gemara says, so, Vahashta the Omer Meir, now that we said that the Gezerah is Shem Yechata B'Gecholim, so like Michael said, Hai Kidr Chayisa, it's called the Kidr Chayisa, that's the expression in Halacha. Kidr Chayisa, which is a raw pot. So, Shari La'anucha Erev Shabbos in Chashecha B'Tanura, it is permitted to leave it on the fire on Erev Shabbos, because my time, since it is not going to be available for use that evening, you completely do not think about it, and over, let's say it takes challah 7 hours to burn, to cook. So you're not going to, if you put it on right before Shabbos, it's only going to be ready 7 hours later, so you're not going to stir it, because there's no point in making it go faster, because let's say the fire is low, so it'll take 8 hours. Okay, but by the time tomorrow morning rolls around, it's going to be 15 hours, so there's no reason to burn it. So you need both things. It's got to be totally raw, and it has to be available for tomorrow morning.
So how would that apply then to something like a coffee pot that is automatic?
Yeah, it's not Kidr Chayisa because it is, it takes too short for it to cook. They only say Kidr Chayisa by something that is, by something that takes, that takes a while to cook. A coffee pot, which takes half a second or 5 minutes to cook, they don't have the heter of Kidr Chayisa. What about bread? What about the bread machine? Can we consider the bread machine a Kidr Chayisa? A bread machine, let's say it takes 5 hours. It does take 3-4 hours. Could the bread machine itself... See, for the mixing and all those things, the bread machine does everything. You just put the ingredients in it, it takes care of the rest. So for the mixing and everything else, we could say that there's no Kizera. But what about the Isser of Shehiya? It's an interesting question. I'd have to look into it, what the Paiskim say. I could hear that, I mean, maybe Avisha Mills is a problem, but I could hear maybe it's not a problem because of Kidr Chayisa, maybe. So my time came to the Chazal Orta Asuche Asach Dai Temine. You totally don't think about it. You're not going to go ahead and stir the coals. So the Gemara says, Ubashil, something that is totally cooked already, it's shaper dummy. You're allowed to keep it on the fire because there's no point in stirring the coals. It's already cooked. Bashel v'loy bashel is the only time that it's usher because we're scared that you're going to want it to be ready for the Friday night meal, so you might stir the coals to speed up the cooking process. So says the Gemara, v'ishod be'gar mechaya, if you have a challant which is 50% cooked, or let's say, just to get the halacha, let's say it's 30% cooked, it's not even a third of the way there. So that's where it's usher to set it up on Erev Shabbos. You cannot set up your challant pot, you know, 20 minutes before Shabbos. A second before Shabbos, you could. Mamish right before Shabbos, you could. But 20 minutes before Shabbos, you cannot. Because then it's already started. It's not raw anymore. So the Gemara says the Eitzah is, you could put it up whenever you want. And right before Shabbos, stick in a bone or a piece of meat that is totally raw. So this way, that piece of meat will give the din raw to the entire challant pot. So that's an Eitzah also. Many times, people want to go ahead and for whatever reason, you know, they go to work. And then they come back 3 o'clock or 4 o'clock on Shabbos. And Shabbos is, whenever Shabbos is, and they put up the challah right away. I always, of course, you have to tell them, you cannot put the challah right away. But they say they can't, it's just so complete, it's just so difficult, you know, to, like, they take a shower and then they, so the Eitzah is, this is the Eitzah. Do, make the entire challah, leave one piece of meat out, and right before you go to shul, open the challah, put that piece of meat in. The Gemara says, but now that you told me this heter, that anything that is that would be damaged if you open the oven is permitted. So, if you have a goat meat, apparently, and visarik, and goat meat, and you tape the sides of the oven, you put a lock on it, it's shaper dummy. Number one, you're not going to want to open it because it will ruin it. And two, visarik, if you seal the oven, that's also shaper dummy because you're not going to have the ability to stir it. The barcha, if it's rab meat, so therefore opening the oven will not, it's more of a tougher meat, it's not going to damage it. V'loy sarik, so the Gemara is saying, if you have two reasons to believe that you're not going to stir the coals. Number one, it's very delicate meat, so it's not going. You're not going to want to open the oven and up to stir it. And number two, you sealed the oven shut, then you could say you're allowed to put it in even 20 minutes before Shabbos. If it's really tough meat and you didn't seal the oven, that's when it's usser. The Gemara wants to know what happens if it's delicate meat and you didn't seal the oven, or it's tough meat and you did seal the oven. Is there a heter for that? The Baruch of Eloi is usser. What about the Gadji of Eloi Sarek or the Baruch of Sarek? What's the din over there? So Rav Ashi says, Shari, it's mutter. And Rabbi Yirmiyahu ben Difti says, it's usser. Says the Gemara, Rav Ashi, the Shari, it says, a Mishnah coming up, Ein Tzoylin Basar Batzalu Be'a Ela Kedeshi Yitzoylin Mipa'id Yayim. One is not permitted to roast meat, onions, or eggs unless they are roasted on Erev Shabbos. And it's mashma with any type of meat, whether it is goat meat or ram meat. And it says you're not allowed to do it. According to Abaye, you just told me that it's only prohibited to roast tough, it's only prohibited to roast tough meat. But meat that is not tough is a problem. Answers Arashi. Okay, that Mishnah is talking about tough meat. Hasan Debarcha. It's talking about tough meat, adult ram meat, v'loy sarik, and it's talking about where you did not seal the oven. Ika da amri, there are those that say degadya bein sarik bein loy sarik shaper dummy. Some say that if it's young meat, if it's delicate meat, then whether or not you seal the oven, it's permitted. Why? Because you're not going to want to open the oven to stir the coals. You're going to damage your meat. The barchanami, if it's a adult ram, Visarik, and you seal the oven, it's also mutter, shaper dummy. Nowadays, that our controls are on the outside of the oven, though, you don't have this heter. Unless there's maybe some sort of lock on the controls. It's also shaper dummy. Ki pligi de barcha veloy sarik. The only machlekes is where you have two for the negative, where it's adult meat and you didn't seal it shut. There, the Rav Ashi, shari verbiyam yimidifti aser. I, says the Gemara, same catch as before, the Rashi, the Shari, I ain't selling buster buster lobeya el kadeshi yitzerlim ibayid yoyim. And again, the Gemara says, Hasam. No, here, it's a different question. Because here, according to Abaye, there's mamish, no case that's usser. Gadya is mutter no matter what. Delicate meat is mutter no matter what. And adult ram meat, according to Abaye, everything is mutter. Whether you seal the oven or not. So according to Abaye, when is it ever usser to roast your meat? When is that usser? The Gemara answers, Hasam the Bisra Agumri. That is usser only when you are, that is usser only when you're putting it directly on coals, not in an oven. You're roasting it like, I'd say at a campfire. In that case, you see, if you're by an oven, so then the whole process of opening the oven and stoking it, you're going to remember that it's Shabbos. The whole thing is talking about where you might do it absentmindedly. It's not talking about where you went ahead and you remembered, or it's not talking about where you remembered and you forgot, or you remembered and you're going to be Michal Shabbos. It's talking about you really want the food for a Friday night meal, and you're like, oh, let's just flip it over, and you'll forget that it's Shabbos. Says Abaye, if it's in an oven, by the time you open the oven and have to stir the coals, you're going to remember. It's only usser if it's at a campfire, where the coals are right there, and you see them going out, so you might want to stir them. That's when it's usser. Yes, did I? I'm sorry. I made a Rashi. Did I say Abaye? I apologize. Amar Avina. Ravina says, "Hi." They both start with an aleph. Ravina, hi krachaya. If you have some sort of gourd or a cucumber chaya that is raw, shapir dummy, it is mutter to put it in an oven on Erev Shabbos. Kevin de kashi lezika, same heter as before. Since opening up the oven will ruin the vegetable in question, it's kibisra de gadia damya. It is comparable to this goat meat, this baby, this delicate meat, where you're not going to want to stir it. So even if you don't go like Ravashi, that any oven is mutter. But even if you want to say that ovens are taka usser, and that's indeed how we paskin, ovens are taka usser, unless it's fully cooked. So therefore, it is not going to be. But vegetables which will damage the oven is mutter. By the way, we paskin that you don't need to be fully cooked. It's enough to be l'chatchila half cooked. Once it's half cooked, so how do you measure if a challah is half cooked? Basically, you see if it takes 6 hours to be optimal, so then you have to do 3 hours in. That's half cooked. And b'di'eved, in a tight spot, you could do 2/3 of the way cooked. So 1/3 of the way cooked. So if it is a 6 hour chalent, 2 hours in is also b'di'eved. Okay, you should aim for 3 hours in. So if you are setting up a chalent, you know, before Shabbos, then you should aim to have it done 2 hours before, 3 hours before Shabbos. Assuming that it takes your chalent 6 hours to cook. If your chalent takes 4 hours to cook, then you have to aim for 2 hours before Shabbos. All right, let's finish up. You're not allowed to sell something to a non-Jew, and you cannot help him carry, load him up, unless you know that he's going to reach his destination on Shabbos. Meisil says it's mutter tan rabbanan. Beishamay emrim lo yimkar adam cheftzoy lenochri. A person is not allowed to sell his objects to a non-Jew on Erev Shabbos. And velo yash ilenu, you cannot lend an object to a non-Jew. Velo yalvenu. Now, yishalenu is, in English, they're both translated as lend. One is an object where you are getting that object back, like I'll lend him my car or my shovel. And velo yalvenu is where I'm not getting the object back, but I'm getting a comparable object back, like sugar, eggs, or money. Velo yalvenu, but in English, they're both translated as you're not allowed to lend them. V'lo yitein loy b'matana, you can't give it to him as a gift. Ela k'dei sheyagia lebeisoy, unless the goy has enough time to reach his house with that object while before Shabbos. Because if the non-Jew is carrying your object on Shabbos, so then he's technically. Now, it became his object. As he left your Rishos, it became his object. Nevertheless, we're scared for Maharas Ayin that people will see him carrying and they will think that it is your object. After all, everybody knows that this was your object up until 10 minutes ago. So they'll see this guy carrying it and they'll assume that it's your object. So because of Maharas Ayin, it's Usser. And what does Beis Hill say? Beis Hill, I remember, no. Kidei sheyagia lebayis hasamach lechayma. So long as the guy can reach a house, the first house in the city that he is going to. He doesn't have to be able to reach his house. He gave it to a guy as he left his house in Indiana or whatever, and he's driving to Chicago, so he's able to go ahead and give it to the guy so long as he gets into the suburbs of South Chicago, and we know from driving through South Chicago that it could take over an hour to get to the house in northern Chicago, so therefore. Nevertheless, it's mutter so long as you get into the first part of the city. Rabbi Akiva Emre Kadesh Yetzim Pesach Beisa. Rabbi Akiva is even more lenient. You don't have to worry about it at all. So long as the guy is out of your house on Shabbos, before Shabbos, you're fine. Amr Rabbi Yehuda. Hein Hein Diver Rabbi Akiva. Hein Hein Diver Beis Hillel. Loi bar Rabbi Akiva el lefaris to Rabbi Yisrael. And Rabbi Yaisi says that there's no machlekes between the last two opinions. Rabbi Akiva is coming to explain Beis Hillel. Do not explain Beis Hillel the way I just explained it, that you have to be able to reach the city. That's just the way Beis Hillel was talking, but he meant just leaving the house. Tan Rabbanan Beis Shammai Emrim Lo Yimkar Adam Chameitzai. Ah, Mamash Negea. Chameitzai Lenachri. Ela Im Ken Yadea Bois Yechal Akeidim HaPesach. You're not allowed to sell your chametz to a guy unless you know he can finish it before Pesach. So nowadays, that you have basically all the chametz in the city being sold to one guy. Basically what you have, if you ever want to watch it, is Rabbi Zucker, Rabbi Cohn, Zev Cohn, you have Rabbi Moshe Scheinberg from the Aguda, you have Rabbi Brody, myself, you have Rabbi Reuven Gross from Shari Tzedek. Who else is there? You have like 10 rabbis sitting around this table, and a guy. And they give him a pile of shtaris that looks like this. This year, by the way, we're not going to be selling our chametz with star. Everything is going to be done over the internet. But Lamaisa, they give him this shtaris. There's who knows how much chametz is being sold there. Literally, all like the big rabbis in the city are there, and me. So you have basically all of Chicago's chametz there being sold to a guy about 20 minutes before this man. So there is no way on the planet that he could possibly finish that, even if he runs a unit of the army. So nevertheless, we do not pass him like Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai says you're not allowed to sell him chametz on Erev Pesach unless you know he's going to finish it before Pesach. So let him know, because if it's mutter to eat, it's mutter to sell it to him. You don't have to worry about it. That is a valid form of beer chametz. Rabbi Yehuda says as follows. Kutach habavli, which is a type of chametz dip, sort of like, can you imagine hummus, which lasts forever. So, you buy those big tubs of hummus, you keep putting it in the fridge, taking it out of the fridge. Every Friday and Shabbos, it goes back in, back out, back in, back out. So there's a similar dip called kutach habavli that is chametz stick because it has moldy bread in there. The chomine kutach and any type of kutach, not only the Babylonian ones, is aser limkar shloshim yom kedem haPesach. It is prohibited to sell it to him 30 days before Pesach because you have to assume that it's going to take him 30 days to finish it. So he is going with a, who's the guy? I guess he's going with Beis Shammai's opinion. Is he going with Beis Shammai's opinion? I guess so. All right, okay, we'll stop over here. One thing that's good about this is that we do not have, we're able to keep up no matter what. That's a good thing. All right, have a great one, Rabbi Yisai. Yeah.